This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Pacific Watch is Jeff Bliss. I go immediately to the report from the Anaheim Convention Center, the National Association of Music Merchants. After 2 years of pandemic, it's back, and they're back, and Jeff was there. Jeff, a very good evening to you. The convention center is nearby. You attended this festive gathering. What is NAMM, and what is the significance of it meeting now in the midst of this celebration of California reopening? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. NAMM, or the National Association of Music Manufacturers, it's an annual gathering. It's the world's largest gathering for people interested in music products and professional audio and equipment for events and venues. And not only is it a place where you can come and look at equipment and try it out and listen to it played or used, but it also draws a lot of A-list musicians who are there either as people who endorse the equipment, you know, as brand ambassadors, or are there to see what's new, what they're going to be playing in the next year or two. So it's pretty interesting because after the convention's over in the daytime, these people are often out in the surrounding area at night, just playing in clubs and bars. And it's really a fantastic opportunity to see these legends of music performing in your hometown at little bars and such. It's a blast. And it's not the first time I've done this. I really look forward to it every year. I'm not a part of that industry, but it's fun to kind of hitch my wagon to it every year.
Now, we're talking about those fancy guitars and the light shows and the stages that move. Is that the kind of thing that's shown off?
All of that and more, you know, speaker systems and venues, you know, trying to help people understand what the best venues are to go to, or how they're, you know, coming along with acoustical engineering, all sorts of things. And computers, of course, play a big role there these days. But it's, like I said, it's an opportunity for these people who are on both sides, both the technical side and the artist side, to see what's coming and to decide, hey, I'm going to purchase this, or I'm going to sign on so I can start playing it. And it's, you know, it's been away for 2 years because of COVID, but now they're back and they're very excited. They don't have quite the same draw that they did before. I mean, it's still probably over 100,000 people are there for the week. But what you're talking about is people are saying they're very excited to be back playing live and have the opportunity to offer a live music throughout the country.
Now, if I understand the geography, this is very near Disneyland, where you spent your youth as Yodeler Bliss and Engineer Bliss. Is Disneyland also celebrating the return of the crowds?
Of course they are. They're actually, the crowds have become so huge that they've had to kind of pull back on their annual passes to everybody. There were very big options here for people in Southern California who could go to Disneyland almost every day if they wanted to. But it's become so busy, they've had to curtail it. They can't handle the crowds and the demand for it. But this is the same that's true all over the state, certainly throughout the West, at concert venues, at professional sports, at even movie theaters. People are very happy to be back out and among society live.
We go from human beings gathering together to Pescadero High School, where a janitor opened the door to an English classroom and found, Jeff, this is another mountain lion. You told me about M317, that's the tag, who was prowling around your neighborhood, probably disturbed in his habitat in the Santa Ana Mountains, and was returned mercifully to his mountains. This is another mountain lion. It's not the same mountain lion. Is this a pattern now? Mountain lions go to high school?
Well, only if they're very sophisticated and, you know, looking toward a long career in some field, I guess. But no, they, this is up north, up in the Bay Area, not far from Palo Alto and not Stanford, not far from San Francisco itself, where you have this community, San Mateo. It backs up against the mountains there. So it's not unusual to see all kinds of wildlife in a near urban setting. And sometimes those animals do come down to places like schools and playgrounds. In this case, it happens to be a mountain lion, which often frightens folks. The good news was, is that when he came to the school, there weren't any students or faculty there. And a custodian who was very observant caught the cat inside one of the classrooms, locked him in there until the wildlife authorities could come take him away. They actually took him to a nearby zoo. But yeah, this is not unusual in California. We, you know, one of the things we like about California is there's the ocean nearby and the mountains and the deserts and forests. And so it's not unusual, depending on where you are, to encounter wildlife.
It was an English classroom, and I fancy this mountain lion had an education, probably looking for Rudyard Kipling or Jack London. In any event, there's another story that is impossible for me to convey, so I'm going to ask Pacific Watch. A bumblebee. A bumblebee is a flying insect, often regarded as a benefit to any community that maintains bumblebees. Suddenly, a bumblebee is no longer a bumblebee. What has happened in California?
A California court has decided that they're going to extend the Endangered Species Act protection to bumblebees who are invertebrates. And what they're going to do is they're going to say, we're going to regard you just as we do a fish. So the headline is, bumblebees are fish now, and it seems very Californian. But this is a way for them to say, we recognize that bees are just as important, maybe more important than many of these other species we're covering. So we're going to find a way to stretch the Endangered Species Act for them. Now, it's got some people on one side, for example, the people who are all about protecting these animals, happy, up in arms, you know, throwing confetti. They're excited about it. On the other side, you have farmers, ranchers, and developers and hunters who are saying, you start here, it's going to be a slippery slope, and you're going to make it so we can't do anything anymore.
Jeff, you could wind up a fish. Jeff. Okay. It's possible. It's okay. I understand. Courts have to do things. The law is the law. We go from a bumblebee fish to water, which fish do need. Bumblebees, not so much. Water is now part of the drought story for all of the West, but especially in Southern California. I learned from Jeff that more than 6 million Southern Californians are going to be under drought rules immediately. And there are recommendations about how to survive this. Jeff, are you under restrictions now? Are you expecting it? And how will you survive?
Where I am in Orange County, which is south of Los Angeles, we're not under it yet, but we are expecting that we will be certainly by the end of the summer. However, in Los Angeles, which is served by the Metropolitan Water District, it's huge. It's a very large public utility. They're already saying, look, we're going to be cutting you to 30. We're going to cut 35% of your daily allotment out. And that's going to mean shorter showers, less frequent washing of things in the house, you know, with a dishwasher or laundry. It means not watering your lawn really anymore. And they're going to be very serious about it. They're going to start with giving people warnings. If they, you know, blow those warnings, they'll go to what they call water school to learn how to use water properly. And then they'll start levying fines. And there are some communities that are saying, If you break these rules enough times, we're going to put restrictors on your intake, and you're not going to have a choice. We're just going to cut you off when it gets to be too much.
And the lawns, Jeff, the last time they were making a distinction between something like functional and dysfunctional or ornamental, and I can't remember the distinction, but are all lawns now to be not watered?
No, they'll keep some, they regard some, you know, functional lawns as places like kids' playgrounds or school playgrounds, fields like that. But what they are going to cut out is water supply to the decorative lawns, the ones that are in front of people's houses or in common areas near, you know, homeowners associations. Those are the ones we're going to see going brown. There's been a move for a long time for people to go with xeriscaping, which is natural with rocks and cactus, things that don't use the water. And this is really going to push people into that area. We're already seeing it happen in parts of California. It certainly happened in parts of Arizona and in Las Vegas.
And finally, less than 30 seconds, are the masks coming to L.A. County again? What have you heard?
They are coming to many of the counties in California, certainly the big ones. It's already hitting up in Alameda County, which is in the Bay Area, and it's going to happen in L.A. County where you're starting to see it in government buildings. It's a done deal. It's going to happen this summer.
Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.